Hello and welcome to the Health Hacks Podcast, the podcast for high-performing professional females looking for practical ways to optimize all areas of their health and wellness. At Health Hacks, we understand that as a busy female, you wear numerous hats throughout your working week. You're trying to juggle it all, while also looking to carve out time to prioritize your own goals. It's challenging. It's therefore our mission to channel your energy into the areas that are going to help give you the biggest bang for your buck, to really make significant changes to your lifestyle in the most efficient way possible. So at the moment, if you feel as though you need more energy, you want to feel more productive to improve the quality of your sleep, to lower stress, to increase confidence, to show up better in both your personal and your professional relationships, this podcast is for you. If it's time you prioritize your health, learn to fuel your body, found time for exercise, and said goodbye to fad diets and inconsistent behaviors for good, this podcast is for you. If it's time for you to step into the shoes of the high performer you know you can be, this is the right podcast for you. Join me and my guests as we take you through the Health Hacks Podcast. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Health Hacks Podcast and the very first episode in our series dedicated to menopause. This is a topic that I'm not only very passionate about, but that I am asked about extensively. There is so much misinformation, there is so much unknown around menopause. We're going to take the time to break it down. It's such a huge topic that we're going to break this down into bite-sized episodes, looking at different aspects. So firstly, what is menopause and the associated health risks? What are the symptoms? What is some guidance for menopause in regards to nutrition, to exercise? And what does the future look like for menopause in the workplace? I know that this series will spark questions. I am asked every single day questions around menopause. So I am looking to put together a Q&A episode at the end. So as you are listening to these, this series, if you do have any specific questions, we're going to keep everything completely anonymous. Do submit them as we go and we'll feature you in the Q&A episode, like I say, completely anonymous, but we'll have a Q&A episode at the end so we can discuss menopause in real life, in real time. Okay, but I really hope that you enjoy and find a lot of value from this menopause series. We will be interspersing these episodes with our guests. So our guest interviews will stay in place. We've got some wonderful episodes coming up to do with time management, to do with energy, resilience. So really looking forward to these guest episodes, but this menopause series is going to be a focus for the next couple of weeks. And I look forward to exploring this with you. If you love what we do at Health Hacks, if you have found any value in the episodes that we've brought you to date, to golden nuggets that you've been able to weave into your working week, your working day, there are two ways to support the show. And I would be eternally grateful if you could do one of the two of them. It should only take just a couple of seconds, but it would help us out massively. The more that we can grow our audience, we are now streaming in 26 different countries worldwide, which is incredibly exciting. But the more that we can grow our audience, the more that we can make our way up the iTunes and the Spotify charts, the more guests we can bring to you, the more high value interviews that we can bring, and ultimately spread the messages of amazing people in the health and well-being space. If you would love to show your support, the first way to do so is to hit the subscribe or the follow button on your podcast platform of choice. You're probably listening to me on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Or the second one is to share this with someone you know. Send them either the show or a specific episode. Hey, we were talking about sleep the other day. Hey, we were talking about energy. Hey, we just had a coffee and chatted about menopause. Here's this amazing series. I hope I found this really valuable. I hope you will too. That kind of thing. So if you yourself have found value in Health Hacks, chances are someone in your inner circle that shares your values will also love it too. So please do send. And if you're interested in working with a coach, if you're interested in one-to-one mentorship coaching, perhaps you've been listening to the podcast for a while and my ethos, my message has resonated with you. If you want to once and for all say no to yo-yo dieting, you want to find a more sustainable approach to health and well-being, you want to take control of your nutrition, movement, stress, sleep, lifestyle, and you think that I might be the person to help you, get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. As ever, my contact details are in the show notes below. I'd love to get to meet you, not only hear more about your lifestyle, where you are right now, but more importantly, actually, where you want to go. Okay, if you have the vision, I can help you get there. Okay, that's more than enough for me for the time being. Let's dive into this first episode of our menopause-specific series. Menopause. It's a natural phase of life and it marks the end of a woman's reproductive years. It will happen to 100% of half of the population. Let that statistic just sink in. I think we tend to gloss over menopause. It will happen to 100% of half of the population. And despite this inevitability, it's a topic that remains covered in confusion, misconceptions, and very often silence as well. It's a journey that every single woman will go through, and yet many women are unprepared for its challenges and the transformative effect that menopause can have on a lifestyle. This podcast series is going to be dedicated to delving into the depths of menopause. So we're going to be exploring the definition, the psychological changes, the symptoms, and the impacts on women's lives. And whether you're approaching this stage of life yourself, whether you're supporting a loved one, or you're simply seeking to understand more about this crucial aspect of women's health, join us for the next couple of weeks as we run through these series of episodes. Our mission with this series is to shed light on this natural transition and ultimately to empower you to embrace the process with knowledge and ultimately resilience. You know, I cannot tell you the amount of women who have said things to me like, "Caroline, I think I'm in perimenopause, but I've no idea really what it is or what it should feel like, what to expect." Women may never have had this conversation with relatives, mothers, grandmothers, friends. They may simply not be aware of what it could mean for them. So really, we want to shed light on this with this series. There's a lot of confusion with symptoms. There are so many women now that will blame the early warning signs of perimenopause on the stresses and strains of everyday life, right? We're all busy. There's a lot going on. And we don't often notice the subtle changes in body and mind that can be the kind of amber flags to perimenopause. And there's an awful lot of confusion over not just the symptoms, but of treatment too. So, you know, is HRT safe? Is one that I hear as a question that I'm asked a lot about. And, you know, it's very difficult for women to know the questions to ask when there is so much unknown about menopause. HRT, for example, in some parts of the UK, only 1 in 10 women who would actually benefit from taking HRT actually do. And whether that's because of lack of availability or lack of knowledge or lack of clarity in the safety, that's just one example when it comes to HRT. Your experience of menopause will be incredibly unique to you. The age that you'll go through menopause, for example, and your symptoms depend on a whole host of factors. Now, these do include genetics, underlying health conditions, treatments, lifestyle factors. So whether you are someone who exercises, leads a healthy lifestyle, there are a whole host of reasons that will impact your menopause journey. And unfortunately, there is no crystal ball to tell you or to be able to predict exactly when it will happen or the symptoms that you will experience. So I think it's important to bear that in mind, that even if you have had a conversation with family members, those around you, and you know, if you've heard stories of their experience, be prepared, but know that ultimately your experience and your journey will be unique to you. So firstly, let's start with a really important question. What is the menopause? And believe me, this is not overly simplistic. There is worryingly quite a lot of confusion around how the menopause is defined. And it's really important to me with this podcast series that we take what can sometimes feel like a lot of noise and translate it into a way that is accessible to everyone listening. No question here is too big or small or simplistic. So let's start with the most obvious. What is the menopause? And you only actually have to Google that phrase, what is the menopause, to be given a dozen different answers. So that really, in and of itself, is no surprise that there's a lot of confusion around this space. The correct definition of the menopause is a hormone deficiency with associated health risks. Okay. That is the definition. A hormone deficiency with associated health risks. I am a menopause certified coach, and one fact that really surprised me right at the start of my menopause education was that your quote unquote menopause is actually one day. It's only one day. You're said to be menopausal or be in menopause when you have not had a period, a menstrual bleed, for 12 consecutive months. No period for 12 months, and the day after that is your menopause. You stop menstruating and you're no longer able to conceive naturally. Anything thereafter, you're said to be postmenopausal. So there are three, technically actually four stages, if you're counting the entire life cycle of a female. There's premenopause. That's the time in your life before any symptoms occur. This is like spring. We're not even thinking about menopause. We are fertile, we are energetic. There are premenopause years. And then we go into perimenopause. This is the period leading up to your menopause when hormone production decreases and you may start to experience symptoms. This is your perimenopause. The menopause itself, stage number three, when you haven't had a period for 1 year. And the fourth stage, the last stage, that's your postmenopause. That's the time in your life after menopause. And on average, women spend one third of their life postmenopausal. So again, you can see where the confusion comes from. I might ask women about their health during menopause, and she might say, "Caroline, I don't have to deal with that. I went through menopause 10 years ago." Well, you're technically then in postmenopause, and there are ongoing health considerations. Particularly, we'll talk about in a second about osteoporosis and sarcopenia. But because you are postmenopausal, you may not be technically peri or menopausal, but there are still some associated health risks because we are potentially deficient in hormones. On the flip side, I've had ladies say to me, "Caroline, I'm in my late 30s. I'm not going to be having to think about menopause for another, 12, 13 years." That's not necessarily the case, unfortunately. As we know, perimenopause can occur at any time, really, but into our late 30s and 40s, it would be very normal to be experiencing symptoms of perimenopause. So there are these four stages: premenopause, perimenopause, menopause itself, and postmenopause. You are somewhere at this time. You are definitely in one of these four categories. So it's applicable to all of us, depending on where we are on our journey. Okay. So let's talk about our hormones and what's actually going on in these stages of life. We're familiar with the term hormones, of course we are. And when we're discussing menopause, the umbrella term of all of these four stages, we're discussing the role of the female sex hormones. Okay. And we've got three. There are three hormones that our ovaries produce. The first one, you're going to be familiar with this, it's estrogen. There are actually three different types of estrogen, but let's not confuse things too much. Let's use estrogen as another umbrella term for three different female sex hormones. And they do a number of key things within the body, really, really key things, such as regulating our menstrual cycle. They'll promote the growth of the uterine lining, so the endometrium, during the first half of your menstrual cycle. Estrogen helps maintain bone density, absolutely essential. It also influences mood. cognitive function and overall well-being, and has a really positive effect on the cardiovascular system. So regulates cholesterol levels and helps us maintain healthy blood vessel function. So all of this really, really key role estrogen will play. You may also be familiar with progesterone. We can often hear about progesterone when it comes to contraceptive pills. Progesterone is the hormone that helps maintain the menstrual cycle and actually plays a really crucial role in pregnancy, if you've ever gone through that journey. Its main function is to prepare the uterus for pregnancy and to support in early pregnancy if it occurs on a given month. Progesterone also helps maintain the uterine lining, so again, the endometrium, during the second half of menstrual cycle. So estrogen first half, progesterone in the second half. And it makes it really receptive to the implantation of a fertilized egg. So you're probably familiar with progesterone if you are on a fertility journey. It also plays a role in regulating the menstrual cycle. Progesterone and estrogen are playing a little bit of a dance throughout a menstrual cycle. So they overlap, they cross over. They are two different roles within a same system, really, is a good way to think about it. And lastly, progesterone has a calming effect on the central nervous system and can have a mild sedative property or effect on the female body. Doesn't mean that it makes you sleepy. It doesn't mean it's nothing like that, but it can have a calming effect. And the last one is testosterone, and that's produced in your adrenal glands. And testosterone mistakenly is often thought of as an exclusively male hormone, but that's not the case. It is present in females, albeit in smaller amounts. And testosterone plays a number of roles. It contributes, yes, to libido, so your sex drive in females, though again, not as dominant as in our male counterparts, but it also plays a really key role in maintaining muscle mass and strength, as well as bone density. It also contributes to energy levels, mood, and cognitive function. So think of testosterone almost as the driver. It's the oomph hormone. It's the one that really makes you get up in the morning and have that real want to thrive throughout the day. And imbalances in testosterone in females can lead to symptoms. So we can experience things like decreased libido, fatigue, and changes in mood, quite erratic mood swings. So it's a key player. So you can see why, you know, each of these hormones plays an important role. And when menopause occurs, when your ovaries stop producing eggs, as a result, the levels of all of these hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, all fall. And because they are playing these key roles, you can see why this can lead to a variety of symptoms. And these will present themselves, of course, firstly in perimenopause. Our ovaries don't just suddenly stop working. It's not just like, you know, someone hits the big red button and everything just stops. That's not really the way that it works, unless there is a surgically or medically induced menopause where that can be a kind of overnight change. But we're talking about natural menopause. It's more a slowing down over time. And this is actually what your perimenopause is. For most women, this can start around 45 years of age, but that can vary drastically. Like I said, I have this conversation with ladies in their 30s, and that would not be unusual either. So it's a time where we still may have our periods, but they are more irregular. So they could be lighter or heavier than you're used to. The periods themselves, they may last longer, and your cycle may be shorter. The ladies who I've coached or who I've discussed perimenopause with, they typically describe quite a lot of frustration at no longer being able to predict their periods in the same way. So very often I'll hear things like, "Caroline, I've always, you know, been like clockwork, 28 days, my period lasts for 3 or 4 days and a little bit of light spotting. That's it. I can predict it. I know when it's going to happen." That's actually, it's very empowering. To then go through this turbulence, for want of a better word, can feel quite unsettling and is one of the first signs of perimenopause. There are a lot of other symptoms associated with perimenopause, but we're going to dedicate the next episode in this series to symptoms. So let's for the time being, let's concentrate on what menopause is and the health risks. Another thing that I'm asked is, how long will I be perimenopausal for? And unfortunately, I know this Sounds like a cop out, but every woman's experience is different. So this can range from a couple of months on the extreme end through to several years or even decades before periods finally stop. So you will be somewhere on that continuum. Once you've not had a period for 12 consecutive months, then you are said to be, as we've discussed, in menopause. And how old you'll be when you reach menopause? The average age for menopause in the UK is 51, but as we've discussed, genetics, underlying medical conditions, treatments mean that you can go through menopause at an earlier age. Some statistics here, just to give you an idea. One in 100 women are under 40 when they go through menopause, one in 1,000 women under the age of 30, and one in 10,000 women under the age of 20. If the menopause occurs when you're under 45, that's called early menopause. And if you're under 40, it's known as premature menopause or premature ovarian insufficiency. POI is a term that, if you dive into the menopause literature, you may come across POI, premature ovarian insufficiency. So we've defined menopause correctly. It is a hormone deficiency with associated health risks. But what are those health risks? Let's run through that just now. I think it's important to consider first and foremost that we are living longer. We hear the word longevity used an awful lot in the health and well-being space. All about longevity, live longer. Yeah, absolutely. With our aging population, there are around 1.2 billion menopausal women worldwide. Yet only 5% of them are receiving evidence-based, that's important, treatment to improve their menopause symptoms and bulletproof their future health. We're really talking here, when we discuss longevity, about quality of life. We're living longer than ever before, and there's more to longevity than just the age that we reach. It really brings into the equation and questions successful aging and quality of life. And that includes maintaining good health. It's one thing living longer, but what are the quality of those extended of that extended lifespan of those later years? The average life expectancy for women in the UK is 81, and worldwide it's 72. So we're doing pretty good in the UK. Obviously, this age was decades younger 100 years ago. So, meaning women are now often living several decades longer than they would have done postmenopausally. So, we're living longer and we're spending increasing years in postmenopause. We've talked about the role and the importance of hormones after menopause. Your ovaries, for example, in postmenopause, are making very little estrogen. Low levels of estrogen and progesterone raise your risk of certain health problems after menopause specifically. And there are other associated health problems that happen naturally as we age. We would expect that, right? But let's explore some of the common health problems in the years after menopause. The first one, cardiovascular or heart disease. This is the most common cause of death in menopausal women worldwide. Before age 55, women have a lower risk of heart disease than men. And that's due to the fact that estrogen keeps our blood vessels relaxed and open and helps the body maintain a healthy balance of good and bad cholesterol. So, what happens when estrogen drops? Cholesterol may start building up on artery walls, leading to the heart. So, think of cholesterol almost like, imagine a pipe that has, if it's a dirty pipe, we can start to see this buildup of grime, of muck on the inside of the pipe walls. What happens when that happens is that it narrows the ability of water or fluid to run through the pipe. The opening gets smaller. It becomes more difficult for water to flow through. Less water can flow through the pipe. Your arteries are working in a similar way. So by age 70, women have about the same risk of heart disease as men of a similar age. We were doing good up until 55. We had a lower risk. And then at 70, we're matching our male counterparts. The British Heart Foundation offers support for women who experience problems with their heart health who are going through menopause. So it is a real risk. And leading on from that, strokes. So connected, your stroke risk doubles every decade after 55. And again, it's because of that lower level estrogen leading to that cholesterol buildup on the artery walls, crucially leading to the supply of blood and oxygen to the brain in that case. Osteoporosis, estrogen playing a role. Again, there's going to be a recurring theme here. Having less estrogen after menopause causes you to lose bone mass much more quickly than you did prior to, which puts you at risk of osteoporosis. So osteoporosis, if you've never heard about it, is a condition that causes your bones to become brittle, weak, and to break easily. It's If you've ever thought about an elderly relative or described them as frail, a lot of that is to do with as we age, we become generally smaller in stature. We lose height, we lose muscle mass. We'll get to that in a second, actually. But a lot of it is to do with our susceptibility to falls and to fractures. We can sometimes describe older relatives as looking frail. We forget that bone is a living tissue. So in our early years, we build up bone strength. If you've had kids or been around kids or ever watched a TV advert that's promoting calcium for healthy bones and teeth, it's because bone is a living tissue and that calcium can help us build bone strength. Obviously, when we lose estrogen and when our bone strength is declining, it's the reverse. So unfortunately, women lose up to 10% of their bone mass in the first 5 years after menopause. And after this, the rate of bone loss does slow, but it's a real kind of drop in bone density very, very quickly post-menopause. And on average, about one in two, so 50% of women over the age of 60 will experience at least one fracture due to osteoporosis. So we're going back to this idea of frailty. The issue with fractures and falls as we age is that it's the falls themselves, which of course can cause immediate damage. But what we often find is older people aren't able to recover from falls and fractures. So you know, one fall could lead to an individual being bedbound or very, very, very sedentary. And actually, that's the thing that accelerates the aging process. So increasing our bone density can really help us be more resilient in those later years. Urinary incontinence. Sexy topic. About half of postmenopausal women have trouble holding their urine. And why does that happen? Well, when you go through the menopause, the tissue of your vagina and your urethra lose elasticity, and you may experience these sudden and really, really strong urges to pee, followed by, you know, this involuntary loss of urine, and that's your incontinence. You can also experience difficulty. This is a really common one, and experience loss of urine with things like coughing, laughing, or stress incontinence, which is losing urine doing things like lifting. That can be a real distress for a lot of women, and really difficult when you're always conscious of, you know, where is the nearest bathroom? I'm going to have an issue here, which make changes in underwear, etc. It's all kind of leads to it can lead to knocks in confidence. It can lead to just real practical issues in day-to-day life. And leading on from that, urinary tract infection. So lower estrogen can weaken, as well as we lose elasticity, but it can weaken the urethra, and your bladder and your vaginal tissue can change, causing a range of symptoms that can lead to increased urinary tract infections. And if you've ever been plagued by UTIs, which I actually was in my early 20s, it is crippling. It is awful. It is just, it's one of the worst things ever, ever, ever. So if you if that is something that is causing you issues at the moment, you can definitely reach out to your medical team and seek help with that. There are a number of things that we can do. Oral health as well, dry mouth and increased risk of cavities are more common after menopause, mostly to do with the role of, we talked about bones, but to do with calcium and how that affects our oral health. Sexual well-being and intimacy. So this one will of course be very personal to you, but many women experience changes in their sex life as they go through menopause. You may have heard of the impact to libido or sexual desire, and that's very common. Some women, it can be not just a psychological consideration, but a physical one. So experiencing problems during sex due to vaginal dryness and that loss of elasticity that we discussed, it can cause real discomfort, particularly during or after penetrative sex. It can be uncomfortable and even lead to bleeding, slight bleeding or spotting afterwards, which is obviously distressing. And you know, low mood, low energy, and fatigue can also play a role in sexual well-being, and you can understand why individual sex lives can be impacted. And you know, there's downstream effects of that. It's massive. It can be, if you've always had a very active and unhealthy sex life, it can dent confidence massively. It can impact relationships. If we're not staying on top of the communication with our partner, you can see why a lot of this comes together and can lead to issues. And lastly, the big one, I'll leave the big one to last, weight gain. So menopause may lead to weight gain. There's a lot of confusion around the link, the direct link between menopause and weight gain. Generally speaking, the reason people put on weight as they age is due to other lifestyle factors. So we may not eat as healthily as we did before. We certainly may not be as active as we once were. And this is similar to the loss of bone mass. We lose muscle mass as we age. This is a process called sarcopenia, if you want to give it its correct term. Again, we talked about the appearance of frailty. You'll notice as we age, generally people will lose muscle mass. And it's actually that leads to weight gain. Because as we know, muscle is what we call, is very metabolically efficient, which means that it uses calories very effectively. When we take in energy in the food that we consume, if we have a higher amount of muscle mass, we're very, very productive or efficient with those calories. The less muscle mass we have, the less efficient we are. And what tends to happen as we age is that our muscle mass decreases, our fat mass increases. It's like a seesaw, and it's actually that leads to weight gain. But irrespective of how it happens, weight gain generally in any stage of life, but particularly in menopause, weight gain can raise your risk of high blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, heart attack, and stroke. So say the risk is greater if you're already overweight, or you're not active or healthy prior to going into your menopause journey. One thing we can agree upon, menopause can play a role in what we call our fat patterning. So where fat is primarily stored on the body. In women, estrogen can promote us to use our lower body as the hips and the buttocks as our primary fat store. As that estrogen declines, we see more of that body fat migrate to be what we call visceral adipose tissue, fancy way of saying belly fat. And women will often describe once being pear-shaped, and then postmenopausal, they might describe themselves as being apple-shaped. So we are holding more body fat, adipose tissue, around our middle. And the reason that that is an issue from a health perspective is we're storing more body fat closer to our internal organs. And that's where the health risks really ramp up. This all sounds a little doom and gloom. I fully appreciate it. And that is not my intention at all. The real intention of this series is to arm you with the information. When you know the information, when you have the knowledge, you can use it as your superpower. And we will talk in a later episode about the management of the symptoms specifically and what we can do. What we really do and the way I coach and we specialize is in the natural management of these symptoms. Because believe me when I say there is so much we can do in terms of nutrition, exercise, stress management, sleep, mindset, lifestyle design. There is a ton that we can look into irrespective of where you are in your health and well-being journey. So perhaps you've never exercised in your entire life, or you've had 20, 30 years off of exercising and eating healthy. Perhaps for you, you want to embed these practices into your routine now, in your early 30s or in your 40s because you are preemptive of the menopausal journey of being postmenopause, it would be a really good idea to start doing this now. However, irrespective of where you are on that health journey, it is never too late to start this, and it is never too early. Even ladies in their 20s, you know, I will talk about things like bone density and muscle mass. They may not be listening and they may not care, and it may not be high on their list of priorities. Maybe in your 20s, all you're interested about is having, you know, toned legs, great glutes, and a tiny waist. But believe me, those priorities do change. And it's really important that at all stages of life, health comes first. So it is never too late. Even if you have not exercised for decades, even if you feel, you know, your diet isn't where you want it to be, get in touch because there is so much that we can do. And as I mentioned, I specialize in looking at the natural management of menopause symptoms. It's really, really important to consider too, because of a survey of almost 3,000 women in the UK about their experience of menopause care, only 28% said a healthcare professional had discussed lifestyle choices with them in relation to their perimenopause or menopause. So only 30% of women are being asked how they live their lives. And the issue I have with this is it's really like putting a band-aid over a gaping wound. You know, we really want to create solid foundations. Looking at, you know, medical intervention and going down the route of hormone replacement and all of the above, and even just easing the symptoms, all of this can be made easier if we have certain lifestyle factors in place. And the fact that only 30% of women are even being asked about it is absolutely crazy, crazy, crazy to me. Another one, 66% of women, two-thirds, said they were offered antidepressants instead of HRT. We'll talk about HRT in more detail at a later date. But the fact that in two-thirds of women are being given antidepressants instead, again, plaster over a gaping wound, it is a worrying statistic. Where do we come in? Where does coaching come in? I know that this all does sound a little doom and gloom, but I mean it. This is not my intention. We're going to break this down. By the end of this podcast series, you're going to feel super, super informed about menopause care, whether it is applicable to you right now, whether you're arming yourself with this information for future, or whether you are supporting a loved one, or you just want to find out more. It's a really, really interesting topic. And like I say, the staggering part of it is that it happens to 100% or 50% of the population. So the fact that this isn't shouted about from the rooftops, baffles me. It really, really does. Where we step in the podcast is obviously the information piece. I'm going to put as much as I can together. The podcast is completely free and ultimately accessible. We make absolutely no money from the podcast. Do not take any money for advertising. This is all about and all part of my effort to provide healthcare and accessible healthcare information completely free. So that component of it, it is my mission. From the coaching side, we specialize in the natural management of menopause symptoms. And I mean it, there is so much that we can look at, from nutrition, from movement, how you manage your stress, how you're sleeping at night, the mindset that you approach this journey, and lifestyle design. There is so, so much that we can look at, irrespective of where you may be. It is never too late to start, and it definitely, definitely, definitely never is too early. So it's worth having a little think about where you may be on this journey. I'm going to thank you for listening to the first episode in this series, this menopause specific series. We've covered this week what is menopause and the associated health risks. We're going to be looking in later episodes into the symptoms, guidance around nutrition, guidance around exercise and movement, the specifics and the specific place of menopause in the workplace. And then I would like to put together a Q&A episode. And I get that this will be very, very personal. It will all be anonymous. But if you have a question based on what I've discussed today, send over those questions and I can include it in the Q&A episode. And if you do have any questions, do please, or concerns, actually, if there's anything that you want to talk about, please do reach out. My inbox is always open. You can find my email address. It's just caroline@coachingwithcaroline.co.uk. You'll find me on LinkedIn. I'm generally most active there. And the link to that page will be in the show notes. Send me a DM. I'd love to hear from you and your experience as well. Maybe you just want to tell me about your experience. Because I coach so many women. Think of it like a tapestry of experience. And I'm actually really, really privileged because I almost sit at the middle of that tapestry. And I'm fortunate that I get to hear all of the stories kind of come into me. Think of it like a maybe this is awful, but think of it as a kind of like a spider sitting at the in the middle of the web. I get all of the information kind of channeling into me, and I see it really as an obligation to be sharing those experiences with anonymity, of course, but sharing those experiences, because it's often difficult for, if you're not speaking about menopause to ladies in your inner circle, it can be difficult not to feel isolated or alone. Whereas actually, because I get to hear so many stories, what can be troublesome or worrisome for an individual might actually be a story that I've heard a couple of dozen times, hundreds of times. So it can be actually really, really empowering to share where you're at and your experience, because you know it might help and be the crucial piece of information that puts another woman at ease or helps her out. So sharing is caring. If you found this episode of the podcast valuable, if you would like to show your support for the show, there are two ways to do that. You can hit the follow or subscribe button on your chosen platform of choice. You're probably listening to me on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or even better, share this episode, send this episode or the show. If it's too personal to send an episode, send the show to someone in your inner circle. Let's bring more people into our world. Let's grow our audience. Let's grow the amount of value that we're able to spread. We are streaming over 26 countries, which is absolutely incredible. But I want to see those numbers rise in 2024. I want to reach more women. Okay. Menopause information, this is just an interesting point as well. Menopause information is very, very, very different depending on where you may be in the world. And I've really noticed this, that the UK actually, we seem to be at the forefront of a lot of this discussion around menopause, which is obviously very, very fortunate for ladies in the UK, but less so if you're not. So as I say, this is our effort to make accessible and free information, but I'm just conscious that menopause care looks very, very different depending on where you may be in the world, and not saying that is correct by any means, okay? So that's enough for me for this week. If you're interested in one-to-one coaching and you want to find out more about the work I do with women, specifically women navigating perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, reach out. I'd love to hear from you. Okay. We'll catch you next week on the Health Hacks podcast.